Mr. Chair, yeah, I think that'd be great. Allie Tonsfeld has come in from Fort Siston this morning, and if we could give her some time to talk about the festival and what went on this weekend, as well as any brief update that we've got on the park. I was able to, again, this is Scott Simpson, Director of the Wildlife, or Parks Division. I was able to be up there this weekend, and it was a great event, and I'll keep my comments short, but Allie will fill you in.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, and Secretary Hepler. I am Allie Tonsfeld. I am the Fort Siston Park Manager. What he is passing out is just some basic information. I know we're short on time, so there's more detailed information in the packet that he's handing out to you guys. I do talk fast, so if you have any questions, just wave your hands, and I will stop talking so fast. I do apologize for that. I am from the South. So, Fort Siston, one of our goals there is to really make history alive for the people that come there, the history of South Dakota, the history of the pioneers, and also the WPA and other parts that we talk about. So how we do this is one way is we have the annual historical festival. The annual historical festival started 42 years ago when they were just trying to get people to come to Fort Siston, just so that it was a place for people to come visit, get to know about, and things like that. It has grown tremendously in the whole entire aspect of it. It originally went to from a rendezvous get-together to now a time for kids and families to come together, enjoy the outdoors, learn some hands-on things, learn about history, enjoy the military, the rendezvous, and also what South Dakota Game Fish and Parks is about. So some of the things that we do is visitation. We had over 1,000 campers in our parking lot. We do only, during this time, we only have dry camping. So bless their hearts for doing that, because that does mean that sometimes they don't get a shower for a week. Other things that we have is our attendance. We had over 8,000, almost 9,000 people attend this year. They came from South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Missouri, and Sri Lanka. They didn't come on purpose, just from Sri Lanka, I promise. But they did come from Sri Lanka. We do have our craft booths. We had over 21 craft booths there, and these guys traveled from all over the Midwest, which is kind of nice. We had over 369 rendezvousers, buckhorn, contracted performers, and military personnel coming from California, South Dakota, Nebraska, North Dakota, and Minnesota to come to this festival. One of the things that people really enjoy about our festival is all the buildings that we have. They have gone to festivals before up at Fort Abercrombie and some other places, and they only really have outlines, but we actually have the buildings, which is fun because the military, we do allow them to go in and do reenactments in the military buildings and stuff. We also have contests for children. This young lady is a blind lady who came and did our cooking contest, and she won first place this year. We do a pie contest. It was fun. She made apple peanut butter pie, so it was kind of incredible. We do have food vendors also who come. We have 6 major food vendors that we do have electricity for, and only 4 minor ones that they have to either bring a generator or something to do electricity. Unfortunately, our electrical outlets are not the strongest to hold a lot more than that. The other thing we do at the fort is we had a melodrama this year, which was kind of new this year, and we had over 537 people attend that alone. The fun part about that is it's a local community theater that puts it on for us, so they don't charge us or anything like that, so it's a cooperation with them. The other thing that we want to talk about is our staff members that come. We cannot do this with other staff members from other state parks. I only have another permit employee, and then I have a secretary staff, and that's all the permit employees that we have that puts this festival on. During the summertime, I am given 4 seasonals, so it's quite a bit for 10,000 people almost to come and visit, and they do it. So if it wasn't for our festival workers from Roy Lake, Pickerel, and Oakwood, and other areas, we wouldn't have been able to do it. They came and helped us. The other thing that we had huge this year is we did have cooperation with a lot of volunteers. I have over 10 volunteers locally that really get into the history of it. They dress up like I do and have a good time with it. We also had four other volunteers from state parks, camp hosts, things like that that we did bring in. And then we had one come all the way from Custer to help us with this festival. So that was impressive. And it was a lot of fun to have. So, and then we did have volunteers from the commission, too. Our commission tries to be as involved as they can with our board and stuff. So, like I said, just some pretty pictures to show you from the festival. The nice part is we did have really nice weather this year, which helped, but the problem is farming, unfortunately, kind of helped, did not help us in that area because they were finally able to get on. So some of the things that we had that was new to our festival, because we're always looking for something new, something exciting. We know we can't be complacent for what our previous years were. So some of the things that we brought in new is, like I said, we changed the melodrama. We are now doing it every year. We did Movie Under the Big Tent, which we showed the Apple Dumpling Gang. You can't go wrong with a Don Knotts or a Tim Conway movie, that's for sure. We had a muzzle loading class. We actually got together with Wildlife, and they did a muzzle loading 101 class, which is great because we have muzzle loading contests there, but not everybody has ever shot a muzzle loader. So we had this class for any ages, and it was fun to watch. We filled the class allowed only 20 this year because we wanted to see how well it went over, and it was filled before we even had the festival. So we're looking at expanding that next year. Something else we were that was exciting is we were the first time that the South Dakota Public Broadcast actually showed their new documentary that's coming out in August, which is Vanish South Dakota, Towns of Yesterday. Which is talking about the ghost towns, and Marshall County has tons of ghost towns, so we were a good place for that to be shown. The other thing we did is we joined with the South Dakota Humanities Council to have speakers. We had ones that talked about Doc Weber, which he is one that helped capture the younger gang, and he is from South Dakota. We had one talk about a love story that happened after the 1862 massacre that happened in Minnesota. And then we did have some talks about the Victorian time period, which is kind of fun. And then the other thing that we did and really highly enjoy is we actually got together with the Sisseton Wahpeton Oyota tribe, which is what we're named after, and Tamara St. John came actually and spoke at our festival and on the indigenous perspective of the 1862 massacre, because that's probably the biggest controversy that we have at Fort Sisseton when it comes to our history. So. And then the last thing that we had that was new was our Smithsonian exhibit. I hope you have all heard about it, but we actually brought in a Smithsonian exhibit into the fort. It came on April 30th, and it's there until June 23rd, and it's called The Way We Work. And the whole concept of it was to talk about how work has changed over the last 150 years due to technology changes, due to immigration laws, due to work ethics even, and things like that. It was kind of neat because the tours that we had there, we had over 20 new schools come to our fort to visit the Smithsonian. We include one of the tours was from the local colony. They have not been on a field trip in 15 years, and they chose our fort to come to on their first field trip in 15 years. We were pretty excited about that. We've had 4-H groups. We have church adult groups from different churches come and visit the fort because of this. With this, we've also were able to get a marketing grant through the Glacial Lakes Area Development that really did help with advertising of radio ads, newspapers, tourism, and things like that. Probably the biggest thing out of the Smithsonian is that people walk by, come out of it and just is amazed. They can talk about it. I mean, some of you might remember, you know, when you used to have to actually pick up the phone and do a rotary dial. There's one of those in the exhibit, and I love talking to kids about that because they have not a clue. There's a BlackBerry in our exhibit, and the kids have not a clue what a BlackBerry is. And so it's been kind of fun. So the other thing that we had that we did is we also joined with the community and worked with the local museum to create a Marshall County exhibit that is stationed at the fort right now during this to show how even the Marshall County has changed over the last 150 years and things like that. So it's been kind of fun. The other thing that we have new that was at the festival was the renovation of the doctor's residence. The doctor's residence was built in 1881. It had a new foundation in the 1990s, but otherwise it really hasn't been touched since then. And so we had some issues with cracks, ceiling issues, plaster, and it takes quite a bit of money to take care of these buildings. Well, we decided to renovate the doctor's residence, and what we did is we actually brought in a local specialist to teach my employees how to do this. So this is something we can do on our other buildings. He showed us how to properly plaster, how to put ceiling back, plaster ceilings back together, and plaster walls. So it was kind of fun. And when I asked him for his bill, he was very sweet and says, this is my gift to you today, which is great, especially when you're dealing with the budget. And so we have had a lot of local support. We had guys come in from Pickerel who specialized in the flooring and the walls and things like that that work for GFP. So we redid the whole entire walls. We fixed all the cracks. The doors were cracked pretty bad. And what we did is we were able to fix those without having to replace them. And then we painted the walls, and then we sanded down the floor. The floor was originally a bluish-gray military-colored floor, which they would not have had in Victorian times. What we did is we did about 3 months of research to figure out what color the walls would have been, how they would have decorated, and what kind of flooring they would have done. Because our goal is to bring history alive, and you can't unless you come into a place and know it's true to what it's supposed to be. So this is kind of what it looked like before. And this is what it looks like today. So quite a bit of difference, that is for sure, which was fun to listen to because at the festival, that's what people mentioned. They had been there for the last 20 years, and they have finally seen it done. So, well, I know we're short on time, so I'm going to wrap up some pretty quick things. 2019 has not been any different than what we've wanted. Our goal was, like I said, to bring history alive, so we created different things such as a Victorian tea and etiquette class. We hoped for 12 people, we got 32, which is pretty impressive when your town's only 79 people. We have a Victorian Christmas traditions, and the reason I'm dressed this way is because this is what we wear on those days. When we actually do things, we actually dress to the Victorian time period, which I'm not gonna lie, is a lot better than our uniform today. And then, of course, we do canning classes. You know, a lot of GFP parks do outdoor Dutch oven, but we do canning classes. We teach them how to can food and meat and things like that that our people have kind of lost a little bit. So it's been kind of fun. So our future stuff that we're headed off right now is we are doing a 60th anniversary celebration. And I highly recommend y'all come to some of these. We are going to play baseball in 1860s style. My men who are playing baseball are wearing the soldier uniform. The balls are made out of rubber. The bats have to be made out of wood, but does not have to be round. And no gloves are allowed to be used. So it's kind of fun. The other thing we're doing is lantern tours. Since there's no electricity in some of the buildings, we take lanterns and we actually tell the stories and the history of the fort. And of course, we have to add the ghost stories into it too. And we are doing a class. We are constantly doing historical classes such as race and class in the Frontier Army. Fort Sisseton is built a very specific reason and a very specific way. The buildings are placed where they are for a specific purpose, and that's because of what race and class was back in the Victorian time period. So what we'll do in that class is we will break down the reason a military fort is built the way it is. So it's kind of a neat class. And then we are doing a ghost investigation fundraiser for the commission over Labor Day weekend. We actually have a ghost investigation professional team coming up from Nebraska who will be leading the public on a ghost investigation to see if they see any ghosts. So last couple things that we have, there's our pictures, is right now we in the works. We have worked with SHPO, and we are now nationally historical landmark nomination paperwork has been filled out. It's in review right now, which will be great because I will help with some federal grants and things like that. It does take about 2 years once that nomination does hit Washington, D.C. We have applied for a federal grant for the officers' quarters to renovate. It needs a new roof. We're having issues with the walls coming out, things like that, which is quite a bit of money. So we're hoping that we can get this grant so we can get that renovated. And then we are also working on our next Smithsonian exhibit. I've been talking with the Smithsonian, and it's the next exhibit that we'd like to receive is the 100 Faces of War expedition. The whole purpose of it is a soldier during the Afghanistan War, his goal or his way for his therapy was to paint pictures. And so he painted pictures of wounded soldiers, he painted pictures of the family, children, and other soldiers, and asked them to write their stories. And that is what we're hoping to bring in, especially since it's Fort Sisseton, and some of their stories is the same stories that my soldiers have faced and things like that, so in the 1800s. So just some of the things, like I said, I appreciate your guys' time. Is there any questions or comments that I can do for you? Yes.
Mr. Whitmire.
Yes.
Commissioner Whitmire, what was this year's attendance? Did you say 10,000?
I'm sorry, what?
What was this year's attendance? Attendance?
About 10,000, yeah.
10,000,
it's about 9,000 to 10,000, which is great. Like I said, our population, our county only has 2,000 in it, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Nope, thank you.
All right, thank you very much, y'all.
Very well done. Thank you.
Thank you.